do have a bit of miscommunication here, but we have an introduction to Faith Bible Institute, which I'd like the church to know about. You see, my friends, recently I went to open a house, and the occupants of the house would like us to have a Bible study course in their home, where they could invite your friends in with your children, and they could study the Word. And they made a very beautiful observation when I was told, "Look, it's great to hear the Word preached in church. It's great for us to come together and listen to what you could hear. But for some of us who have not had a background from Scripture, these disjointed portions of Scripture may be useful, but what we need is to know the Bible." When I was told that, I thought, what a beautiful observation. It's a fact. You see, we take a lot of things for granted because all our lives we've been studying the Scriptures. But sometimes when we come and speak, I'm aware that it will be so much easier to grasp what we're trying to say if we know the book and have an understanding of the context from which we're speaking. I really believe in my heart that every Christian is a leader. Amen? Amen. We are the spiritual leaders. We are the ones to guide this nation and guide this society. But we can't do this based on our ideas. We can't do this based on the concepts that matter to us, great as they may be. It's only the Word of God that can pull a nation out of darkness. And so we have examined some of the great material that's available, and we found Faith Bible Institute that would come to our church and link us with several hundreds of churches that are doing a serious study of the Word of God. Years ago, we attempted to do this, and we went through the entire book. We had a great time together. Those who participated in it would tell you what a marvelous thing it is for a group of people to sit down and focus on the Word of God. We would like to revisit this exercise, and we'd like to encourage as many people as possible to do this program of studies. And if we could do this, it would be a blessing indeed. Here's the question: what if you could offer a Bible college for your church, for all of us? I know that you would enjoy it. You would find it very, very useful. What's great about this is that when you're done in a 3-year program, you can have a full grasp of the entire Word of God. There are some elective courses like evangelism that everyone could be involved in. And you could be a blessing wherever you live among all your friends and colleagues. And we want to introduce this and give you a taste before the summer, showing you what you can invest 3 years of your time in. And if you should do that, you would be a real blessing to everyone around you, not least of all yourself. Pray that as we enter into this study, all of us would benefit from it and be a blessing indeed. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your living Word. We thank you for the light of your Word. We Thank you that you have the best of plans for every one of us, and that you're a good God. Thank you for your word, which declares that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Burn this into our hearts this morning, and grant that we, your people, will be people of light, being a blessing in this world in which we live. Touch every one of us and show us what your plan for us is. For Jesus' sake, amen. Years ago, I was discussing this passage with a friend, and he told me, if you want to understand 1 John chapter 1, read it backward. He says, start at the last verse and read backward. And I thought, that's an interesting exercise, so I want you to do it this morning with me. Open your Bibles. 1 John chapter 1, and start at verse 10. What does verse 10 say? 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read it together. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This walk with God is a walk in light, because God is light. And what God does is that He turns on the searchlight into our hearts. And it all starts right here. You see, if His word is in us, and we say we have not sinned, we're making God a liar. Because God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's when the light begins to turn on in our hearts. When we realize that we are no better than the world around us, when we realize that there's nothing in us that we can boast about, God can begin to talk to us and reveal truth to us and bring us to the place of deliverance. But we have to come to the place where we're going to admit that God must be true and every man must be the liar. Let God be true. And if God said that all have sinned, that includes us. Regardless of how sanctimonious we may look in church this morning, there are dark places in our lives that we don't want anybody to know about. Now I know that people boast about their sins. I heard a man testify about sleeping in the same bed with two women the same night, being sexually involved with both of them, and boasting about that. My friend, you see, when the Lord saved us, there's some things we're supposed to be ashamed of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it. And all of us have skeletons in our closets that we want to keep covered. We don't want to go exposing this to the world. If we got any shame, we're supposed to blush when we come up against the dark places in our lives. And we are supposed to go humble before God and tell God we're sorry about it. And we're not going to be boasting about our many conquests and triumphs. But we must bow before God and recognize that we have all been born in sin and we've all committed sin. This is where light starts to come into us, when we acknowledge that we have sinned. David was like that. David was a man after God's own heart. But David sinned. And when David sinned, he recognized that he's got to go to God and admit it. So he said, against thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. The walk with God starts with contrition. The walk with God starts with the place where we go before God and acknowledge that we are sinners. So let me read verse 10 again and go straight into verse 9. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to confess it. We can't take the opposite position and say we have not sinned. But John is telling us we got to confess our sins. And when we do, we're going to find that God is what? Faithful and just. That's what we got to depend on. Not our contrition. That's not going to save us. Nothing about ourselves is going to save us. But everything about the nature of God is going to be working toward our salvation. God is faithful. And that is what we can depend on for our salvation. He's faithful. And what's more, God is just. God knows that we are reborn in sin and shaped in iniquity, and it would be unjust of him to not give us a chance to repent and bring us into his kingdom, because he's got a wonderful arrangement for us. This faithful and just God sent his only begotten Son, that he may die for us. And since he sent his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sin, we don't need to pay the penalty for our sin anymore, because his Son paid the price. And that's how God is faithful and just. And in doing that, he forgives our sins. Oh, my friends, this thing blesses my heart when I think about it, that God will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anytime I think about this cleansing, I remember my nephew Mark. I watched Mark wake up in the morning. When Mark woke up in the morning, he woke up with life. You know, most people, when they wake up in the morning, they're going to stretch and groan and yawn. Not so with Mark. Mark got out of bed with energy. He bounced out of bed. And when he bounced out of bed, the whole day starts, and for the rest of the whole day, Mark is going full time. We went to Mary once, and he was sitting on a little seat that children sit on. He was just a few months, maybe a year and a half old. And Vashti was riding this bicycle in that dead sand. And suddenly the bicycle got out of control. And this seat came off from the handle of the bike. And Mark came off with it. But I watched this little fellow hold on to the handle of the bicycle. He's not going to loose. He's not going to loose until that bike falls on the ground. He's going to be the last person to hit the ground. Praise God, Vashti was able to hold that thing together. Mark didn't suffer any hurt. That's how Mark was. I like to see people with energy like that. Life is supposed to be beautiful.
Hallelujah.
And if all our lives we could live with that kind of energy and enjoyment, it would be a marvelous thing. And that's what God wants for his people. He made life. And he never intended that life should be sour and dirty and hard. God is a good God and intends to bless his people. And if you're going through life with a pessimistic attitude toward life and toward God, you need to wake up and understand that God wants you to know he has the best in his heart for you. Faithful and just. God is not sitting in a corner waiting to find where you went wrong and pounce on you and say, I got this against you, I got you this thing. No, this is not God. Peter might be like that, but God is a faithful and just God. God knows our frame, he knows we are dust. And therefore, when we sin, God is waiting to forgive us if you only give God a chance. I know sometimes we have sinned so hard and we have done such wickedness that we can't believe we could face God. Not me, you can do it, but not me. You've always been good, but not me. And they could point to all of the flaws in their lives. Listen, friends, God doesn't save good people. Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the Word of God says. And therefore, if God speaks to your heart, you need to know that God is in the business of forgiving. I like the two things. When Mark got out of bed in the morning, you can imagine that he could get into anything. You know? Sunday morning comes and it's time to take Mark to Sunday school. So my mother would dress him nice. She'd see Mark looking very bit of an every bit of gentleman. What? It's Mark, right? My friends, and the number of days I see Mark getting into trouble after he'd been dressed up so nice. Because Mark had a particular something in him. He used to like to eat mud. That's my boy Mark. Why he would want to eat mud, I don't know, but Mark used to eat mud. Now he was dressed up nice and ready to go to church, and you have a nice movement to go and try a nice, delicious piece of mud. You're not going to end up on your nice white clothes, everything. So here's my mother going to see Mark, nice and dressed up. All dressed up to go, but nowhere to go. God, you can dress him up, but you can't take him out. Mark going to get dirty fast. So she could forgive Mark. Because she said, I can't stop this boy from eating his mud. But you think you could still take him out like that, although she forgive him? No, my mother had to go and change him and sometimes bathe him over again and wash him and so on. And that's what God got to do with us. Not enough to forgive us, God got to wash us. That's what God does. The salvation of Jesus Christ doesn't only come and look at us and say, poor boy, sorry. No. What God does is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The forgiveness without the cleansing is useless. And I praise God that God is in the business of making men new. When he makes us new, he means to use us to be a blessing to somebody else. But if we are still dirty, if we are still unclean, if we are still unforgiven, you think we could help anybody? No, my friends. The plan of God is to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The progression is to acknowledge that God is not a liar, that God speaks the truth, and that God says that we have sinned. So if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, because God has already declared that we have all sinned. But if when God reveals ourselves to us, we admit it, we confess it, praise God, he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why are we going to do that? There's a corruption inside of us. See, that corruption is to make us think of ourselves better than everybody else. We go around in this world comparing ourselves with other people. And if we sin, we have a way of covering it up. And And even if we're going to acknowledge it, we're going to say, how can a good marriage be good like that? You see how corrupt that prayer is? How could a man like me, how could I do a thing like that? You can't believe that I could have done a thing like that because I am me. I know who I am. I see myself from the inside. And from the inside, I look pretty good. But the outside, people are seeing us. And people are observing everything that we do. Most of all, God sees what we can't see, what men can't see. And God's opinion of us is a different opinion from what your nice mother has of you. You know, mothers have a way of seeing their children better. Now, my sister, she's a tight mother, and she's always run her house with a tight hand. If her children pull off anything, she's able to spot it for us. Yes, I come to tell you, God sees from the inside. And God knows everything about us. What this passage is telling us, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now you see that deceiving ourselves is something that you really need to look at. Think of what this passage is saying. We deceive ourselves. Now suppose a man deceives himself. Does he know? Think of it. The question twists around the subject. We deceive ourselves. Can a man deceive himself? And if he deceives himself, does he know? Now that's the danger of living in this world, failing to come up to the light of God. Living in this world is to be living in a dark place. When Dwayne was 11, he went back to Guyana for the first time with me. And he was really enjoying himself until the night came. You see, in the end, we got a thing called blackout. And here was this boy, he had grown up all his life here. And he had gone back to Guyana when he was 11. And when the blackout came at night, this thing frustrated this boy. He said, Dad, look, I could take the mosquito. I could take fetching the water upstairs because we didn't have water running in the pipes. He said, but this? I can't take this, Dad. I can't take this. So I told the family we were staying with, I said, let's go and have dinner at Demico. And Ben had one question to ask me. They got light at Demico. I said, yes. He said, let's go. He was ready to go immediately. Why? They've got light at Demico. And I realized what a strange experience this must be for this boy. He's accustomed to New York, bright lights all the time. And the first night, he's going back to this place of which he's so excited, he's going to hit a blackout. Let me tell you, my friends, in this life, there is darkness all around. And it's true. The world is a dark place. And if it were not for the sun, we wouldn't have any light. I know we got some artificial light we turn on like this. Just as just artificial stuff, the real world is a dark place. And all over the world would be full of darkness if it were not for the light of God. Amen. When you see the Supreme Court says it's no law that men and men could be married. They are just reflecting the darkness of the world. The world thinks like that. The world is a dark place. When you see people live with deceit in their hearts and rob themselves of the joy that they need to have in life, it's because this world is a dark place, and we are just reflecting the darkness of the world in which we are part. When we think that God is a cheap God, and that God wants to make us miserable in this world, it's because this world is a dark place, and you can't see what God is really like. God finds no delight in our misery. God finds no delight in our sickness. God finds no joy when we sin. He doesn't sit back waiting to destroy us because we have fallen short of God's mark. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that God loves the world.
Amen.
I thank God that He loves the world, and I'm included in that. That when He saved me at 16, because God loves me. That when I committed my life to Him, it means that God is going to look after me all the days of my life. David could pray, face his sins, and acknowledge everything before God, and declare, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is a good God and has only the best of plans for us. For us to resist God and make Him a liar and fail to confess our wrongs before God is to rob ourselves and fly in the face of God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. For 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness because we're coming to it. Our text is saying that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Therefore, to walk in darkness is not to be walking with God, it's to be walking away from God. God is light.
Amen.
His people are people of light.
Amen.
We are the ones to lift this world and to make this world a better place. Every one of us. The devil has his way. He's going to back up every one of us from receiving God's forgiveness, because God wants to turn us on, turn on the light in us, that we can be light to other people around us. But to be left alone is to live the life of darkness. Don't live like that, beloved. Understand that God has a better plan for you. That is that God is light. And that's where John started. You see, John was living near to Jesus. And if you check the record when Jesus was among them, John is the one who sat nearest to Him. And when the rest of the disciples wanted to ask Jesus something, they would turn to John and say, ask Him, ask Him, ask Him. Because he's near to Jesus, and any time they wanted to find out something, they would go to John. And John would talk to Jesus. He just had to whisper, and Jesus would hear. He lived near to Jesus. Last to write the gospel. Then he wrote this. And then when he would be near to Jesus, he would describe himself as the one that Jesus loved. This is John. So when John is going to speak to us, he starts from that position. He starts from that position and said, This is what I want to tell you. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He's starting from being near to Jesus that he could talk like this. And then he got to say, I got to come closer to you for you to hear what I'm saying. And that's a fact. We could be so near to God, and we could be taking the word of God and giving it to men, but they can't get it. We need to go nearer to men, that men can begin to get what we're talking about. And this is John in this verse. This is our text. This then is a message, verse 5, which you heard and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so he steps closer to us, realizing that we can't get that. And when he makes a step closer to us, he says, we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not. You can't be walking close to God who is all light and be walking in darkness. You're lying, it's not true. Holiness is the only path for the child of God.
Amen.
Because he belongs to God. We can't be walking in darkness. Word of God reveals truth to us. And if we don't walk according to that truth, and we say that we are walking with God, you're fibbing. Because God is light. No darkness at all in God, none. And if we are going to walk with God, we're going to find that we too are going to reflect that light. So John steps close to us and says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. I always felt that as we have fellowship one with another, it's not just among ourselves, but fellowship with God. This fellowship that we have is a rich fellowship among the people of God. Glory to God, that's beautiful. But that is only reflective of the fellowship that we have with God. When you see you're living with God, there are certain things that you got to pass through him before you pass it on to people. There are certain things that you're going through in your heart, and you're praying, and God's going to burn something on your heart, and you're going to see something that you've never seen before. You're reading the word of God, and something's going to hit you. Then you're going to tell somebody else, where is it coming from? It's coming from God, light. Now forget this last time we were doing the Bible reading. And I came to Leviticus. In this Leviticus passage, I've never preached from it. I've never preached from Leviticus. See this Leviticus thing? All of those Old Testament forms and statutes and stuff. I lift it up high and I study it, but I never could find the freedom to preach from it. I like to preach about Jesus. I like to talk about the gospel. I like to talk about the things that Jesus said when he was on earth. I like to talk about the apostles said. But when I read Leviticus this last time, I realized how good a God God is. I saw how God had a heart full of love for his people, and it was his intention to make them the greatest in the world. He was going to make them the head and not the tail. So when he would tell them that, look, if you see somebody have to pay you back by their land for a debt that they owed you, give them back at due time. You see, if they've got to pay you things, and you got to take stuff from them, watch. You could treat a stranger a certain way. But you see, among your brethren, you got to treat them different. You can't lend each other with usury. You can't lend them with interest and then make them dead, that they own nothing. It belongs to them. It must go back to them. God had strict laws for the relationship that the people of God had among themselves. And he thought, what a good God. When I see God dealing with the strangers, I say, watch, when you reap all your fields, don't take all. Leave some of the outside so that when the stranger comes who got nothing, he got something he could get. This is God providing for the poor and the needy. I find that God has always been a good God. Sometimes we can be so obsessed by the words of the Old Testament and the language of the Old Testament that we forget that God has always been a God so loved the world. He's always been a God who will look after people. He's light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. It has always been like this. He hasn't suddenly changed. So if we're going to be the people of God, God got to help us to rise from the shadows that are in our hearts, from the strange notions that we have about him and the world and Muslims and everybody, and know that all people can come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And as we are the ones who to make it happen. You understand why it is that I've taken this action when I go to the board tomorrow night? I'll be proposing to the board first that we start Sunday school at 9 o'clock. Before the morning service, we can have Sunday school. Now the board can throw this out. But I want us to meet with our children and the whole church force in groups where we can study the Word of God and we can pay attention to our children. They mustn't come to our church and grow up like that world we can live. We as a church mustn't be stupid about how we do our business. That we come and we have a service that finishes at whatever time, and then we sit down tables at the school. We know that we've worked up all of Sunday school time and Sunday school camp. We have Sunday school first. And after Sunday school, we start service at 10 o'clock. Hear me, my friends. Why are we doing this? Too much darkness in the world. And if a child comes to our Sunday school for 3 years, they're supposed to be exposed to every truth in the Bible. That's what our curriculum is like. Any child who comes here for 3 years would have a solid knowledge of every, and I'm talking about even from 4-year-old children. After 3 years, they've been exposed to every essential truth in the Bible. We can't lose that. Children have grown and have gone off to college. You think it's right that the first crazy, ungodly professor that comes and tells them God is dead, that your children will say, yeah, God must be dead and true? No, my friends. Our children are supposed to be grounded in the Word of God and have a knowledge of God and have faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm urging everyone to come around and let us stand by this, that we bring our children to Sunday school and treat them to the Word of God. Our Sunday school would not just be for children, but for adults too, that we would be able to study. It's light, because God is light, and we are the people of light. Our children are children of promise, and they must be children of light. we walk in this world in darkness. And I'm urging the whole church to come around and embrace the Word of God for ourselves and our children. 9 o'clock Sunday morning. When we go to the Word, and we have to interface with the Word, we must walk as children of light. Because we are in relationship with God. Walk as children of light. If you gotta be to work, be at work in the morning at 9 o'clock, you must be cruising into work at 9:15 or 9:05. You must be aiming to get there before 9 o'clock.
Amen.
When it's time to start, you're on time. You must know you that you don't teach your boss's time. Come to work on time. And you're going to work. Give a full day's work for a full day's pay. Amen. We as a church must have a vision and a holy ambition for the things of God. I have in my heart that not only must we be focusing on the Word of God in the services of God, but if God could help us, and I want the church to join together in prayer with us, to think about what is happening with older people in our society. They don't have a place to live except they have some children to look after them. And I said, God help us. You know, for over 15 years, I've been ministering with a senior citizens center in Jamaica. And I've always felt, God help us in church, that we can have one of these facilities. When people have given their lives and worked hard, and they can no longer work, and they don't have anybody that they could depend on, that we should have a facility, a nursing home, where senior citizens can come in from the church or from outside the church and bring them in and give them a place in which to live. The church can pray for this because we are children of light, and we can ask God to help us to see this happen. More than that, every member of the church should be a leader for God. We can't spend our lives fighting with God, whether we see him or not. This is great schoolwork. When you start with the school, there comes a time when you know A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Isn't that right? And you know that early? There comes a time very early when you know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Come. Great school work. You as a child of God must not spend your time asking yourself if you're saved or not. No! The people of God must be people of confidence. People who confess their sins and know that God said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't spend the rest of your life fighting with God, whether you see him or not. No, my friends. We used to sing, if you see him, you do see him. Amen. Child of God must say with confidence. Amen. You used to say, if you see him, you know, stamp your feet. Stamp your feet. Stamp your feet. We try to teach people this is not something to be doubted about. Believe God. Amen. We must have sowed doubt in the minds of children, and children have committed their lives to Jesus and believe God, and then we get to turn and sow doubt in their minds. No, my friends. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Church must be light. Jesus said so. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus wants all of us, every member, to be a leader. Are you going to be like that? Or are you going to live in this world as though you're far from God? No. You've got to appropriate the grace of God when God says, if we forgive, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't worry about all this. Devil brings that. God telling you